It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45 with some injury updates in the NFL. At 2:30, why do September 19th and 20th matter? Some interesting food holidays for one. And a beer minutes, the Longhorns and Cowboys win. And discuss a little bit more from the weekend in college football. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number three on this Monday, rolling through September, getting a little better idea of maybe what we've got in the NFL. And on the college side, you had both Iron Bowl teams go on the road. One of them escapes the swamp. The other one could not escape the whiteout. But it was a game. Penn State and Auburn put on a show Saturday night. Unfortunately for Auburn folk, it was Penn State that got that win, and the discussion's out there now. Any chance Penn State is the best team in the Big Ten? Anybody? Maybe? No?
Because Stroud doesn't look like he's the guy who's going to lead Ohio State back to a championship.
Because they got another clunky win over the weekend. That was weird. They just kind of hung around and beat Tulsa. But they didn't beat them by much, considering.
It was a very similar game to how Oklahoma State played it a couple weeks ago. It was way too close through about three quarters, and then Ohio State, their talent pulls away in the end.
Oklahoma, right? Oklahoma played Tulsa.
I thought it was Oklahoma State.
Ooh, they may have both. Maybe they both played them.
Okay.
I know Oklahoma played them 40-35. That was the team that Oklahoma only beat by five.
Are you talking about, wasn't that Tulane?
That was Tulane. You're right. My bad. You're right. I was mixing up my Tulsa and Tulane. That can happen to you. when you get old. College and pro football out there. Before we get back to the Longhorns, let's go ahead and start with this. If you missed it, the latest AP poll, still Bama on top. Georgia's getting three votes at number two. Oregon up to three. Oklahoma punished to four, if that's okay. A punishment. But they slid a little. Iowa 5. Penn State up to 6, and they probably deserve it. A&M's at 7. Cincinnati 8. Clemson and Ohio State both slip down to 9 and 10. Not that you got to punish them a little bit. Clemson's was a weird game.
That's another team that's having some problems offensively. We talked about it with Oklahoma last hour. Clemson does not have a whole lot of answers in terms of explosive plays right now. And a large part of that is their offensive line just being not very good right now.
Yeah, and Uiagalelei is not good throwing the ball.
I refuse to learn his last name until he looks a little bit better at quarterback.
Fair enough. Iowa State sitting at 14. K-State creeps into the rankings at 25. And here are your Big 12 teams receiving votes. Texas, TCU, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, and Tech are all receiving some layer of votes.
Tech is receiving votes?
A few. Not many.
How many votes does Don Williams get for the Lubbock Avalanche Journal?
That's fair.
Just kidding, Don. We love you.
Three teams drop out of the rankings. Virginia Tech, Arizona State, and Miami. Hello, Manny Diaz. I'm kind of surprised he's still the coach today. I wondered if that was going to be it. I wondered if they were taking him out at that point.
Was it Brandon who jumped all over Michigan State on our show on Friday? That was a great call by him.
He hit it. Brandon had a pretty good week, man.
He did.
Brandon said Michigan State, ding. Brandon said Chiefs and the over, ding.
He said Florida.
He said take Florida. He said take Nebraska and those points. And he said take Penn State. Got him all right.
Wow.
So I'll give him that love on Friday when we have him on at 1 o'clock. So all of those teams, and then the teams that jump in the rankings, we mentioned K-State, Fresno State. Did you catch that one?
Mm-hmm.
All those people wanting UCLA to be in massive matchups coming up later. Yeah, not so much. Fresno State's quarterback, tough as hell. They damn near broke him in half, but they won. And then Michigan State, because of the Miami win, they jump in the rankings.
Look, the Pac-12 sucks. Mm. We knew that heading into this year. We knew it was the case last year, too. And we're just receiving that validation right now, with exception to Oregon. I think Oregon is a legit contender. Everybody else in that conference is a joke.
Especially if Oregon gets those cats back on defense consistently.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if Thibodeau even played this week.
Don't think he did. I think they rested it one more week.
They are playing Arizona this week. Night game, should be able to handle their business there. But that's a team to look in on. I agree with you. They're the team in the Pac-12 if it's anybody, because it's obviously not USC.
The problem for Oregon is if they make it all the way to a playoff, they're going to have done such light lifting in conference play that they're not going to be ready for an Alabama or, you know, pick another team that's going to be making it to the playoff, who's having to face much tougher competition in their own conference.
Yeah, we'll see where they go from here. And the other, you know, big thing around these parts is let's see now where Texas goes from 58-0. Because, Trey, there was a day when, you know, back in the Mack Brown era is the last time I remember feeling it around here, where you could beat a team like that in non-conference and you sort of know where you're headed. You kind of know where it is, you know, the confidence level of a team. But this is obviously very, very early in the Steve Sarkisian era, plus what you saw in Fayetteville. Where's your trust level for this team as we head into the game with Texas Tech? Because we've had different fans on the text line today saying, hey, I don't think we should be overlooking Texas Tech. Somebody else saying, no, wait a minute, Texas should handle their business against Texas Tech. Where are you confidence-wise that they're going to handle business over there on Saturday morning? Or do you think they could be in for a fight?
I'm confident because I don't think Texas Tech is that good. And they don't possess the physicality at the lines of scrimmage that Arkansas possessed. So I think that even if Texas doesn't play their A game, because it is at home and Texas Tech is a bottom three team in the conference, they'll still find a way to scratch a win out. They should be leaning heavily on the rushing attack, just like they did versus Rice. And hopefully that defense can be aggressive at the point of attack, not asking too much out of your linebackers, because the defensive line is really setting the tone for all other levels on that side of the ball.
Texas and Texas Tech, 11 a.m. kick. Also the same thing for TCU. I'll admit I have not watched much. What I watched of Texas Tech was the SFA game. And because my wife's an SFA grad and we're following the Lumberjacks. So my overall feeling of that game is it was just messy. Messy, clunky, bad special teams, turnovers. Like, that's how SFA was in that ball game. SFA, I think, blocked a kick and covered it for a touchdown, or took a pick six back for a touchdown or scoop and score. They created a touchdown with their defense, and then they almost created another one and put them on the doorstep with either special teams or defense. It was that kind of night. And it was 28-22 by the end. So just really clunky and messy. That's the only game I've seen them play. I didn't see the game this past weekend. I think it was an ESPN pluser, so I wasn't able to grab that one. So I'm not exactly sure what to expect with this team. We know the cat from Oregon is there, Tyler Shuck, almost 400 yards in this game. So Cumbie's there running the show, trying to get him back to maybe the Tech we remember from back in the day, but Wells wants to play more of a traditional style of football, right?
Yeah, that's one of the things that I questioned whenever they brought him in, is that he's looking to play that more physical brand of football. Now, we've seen that throwback happen across college football this year. Ironically, Matt Wells realized that that wasn't working in the Big 12, so he went for more of an aired-out style when he made the changes on the offensive side of the ball this last offseason. Maybe he should have stuck with things for one more year. But then again, they wouldn't have Shuck right now had they not changed the offense up.
We'll definitely be breaking that one down. Could it be the last time Texas and Texas Tech play for a while? Still haven't heard anything from all those lawyers trying to figure that out.
Now, you did see the report from a couple weekends ago that, I think it was Kirby Holcutt who had said this on the record, that Tech and Texas were working on an agreement to where they would continue to play a regular non-conference matchup.
Do you like that as a Texas fan? Do you want that game?
We had talked about this whenever the news initially broke. I'd be fine with that. I'd like to show Tech some sort of love, because for the longest time we heard that those two teams were attached at the hip for any conference move. Obviously, that turned out not to be true, just like Oklahoma and Oklahoma State turned out not to be true as well. But I wouldn't mind keeping that pairing going. I like enough Texas Tech people that I'd like that connection to still exist.
They are one of the, I totally agree with you. They're one of those teams that we have kind of felt bad for in this whole Big 12 SEC discussion, and I do hope that can continue, because I know enough Tech people to know how they feel about that game. Deep down, it gets them going, man. And if it went away, I think they'd be a little sad, because I don't think anything else could recreate it. I don't think you could. You can't name me a team in America. Go to the top of the rankings. It doesn't matter. I don't think you could pit Texas Tech against anybody that would create the feeling they get when they play Texas.
Oh, I know of one opponent.
I don't. Who is it?
A&M.
No. I disagree. It's not the same. It's close. It's close.
There's more disdain towards you guys.
Yeah, it's a different feeling. There's that different feeling. Because when they go to College Station, it's not like when they're coming here. Because I don't think they look at Aggies as like with that sort of the snobby looking down your nose kind of vibe. That's how they look at Texas. They look at Texas like, you guys think you're overly entitled and you're just you're this big brand and you're the Yankees, whatever. They look down a little more at the Aggies, I think, than they do at you guys. You know what I mean?
Maybe, but there is a similar attitude that went into those A&M games starting around the mid-90s and then working its way all the way through the end of A&M's run and in the Big 12.
Yeah.
And you knew that.
Oh.
I realized it in the late 90s. I'm like, man, if A&M doesn't start treating Texas Tech with a little bit more respect, they're going to start losing a lot of these games. And that happened, and ultimately, you guys did have to almost begrudgingly acknowledge. It was kind of like us with West Virginia, where you had to acknowledge, oh, crap, this group hates us so much that we need to treat this like a rivalry game now.
It did turn into a fired-up game with those two for a while. You're right. Yeah, so we'll see if Texas and Texas Tech will extend and keep playing. But we know we get them this Saturday morning at 11. We'll be breaking down the Red Raiders this week. Texas whips Rice 58-0. We're trying to figure out exactly what we can take from it. Longhorn fans have been texting us throughout the show.
Can I ask you a question about your Aggies? Because y'all had a nice showing against competition that you needed to thump. A little bit more confidence in Calzada after he gets a week to prep as a starter and obviously looks better overall throughout the course of an entire four quarters?
A little bit, but those two games had similar ingredients. Mm. To me, if you're a Texas fan or an A&M fan, I think you saw basically the same thing this weekend, and I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how to tell you what to exactly take from it, especially on the offensive side. Easy touchdowns, guys running free, you know they're good. Overall, I mean, obviously, I think A&M is in a little better position right now than where Texas is, especially defensively. But, yeah, a little bit more confidence in Calzada. He calmed down a little bit. They found him some pass routes he likes. The concern for me, if I'm an A&M fan today, and obviously I am, but if you're an Aggie fan out there, to me it's the blocking part of it. Mm. It's that offensive line. Kenyon Green was banged up to start, then came in, and they're playing him at guard and tackle now, trying to figure out where the best place is. I do not like the way they're protecting Calzada. And,
okay.
when it comes to big dog defensive fronts, this week is a massive week for A&M. They've won 9 in a row against Arkansas, and it may be about to come to an end if they can't block and tackle like they need to. I like the defensive side.
I was about to say, fortunately for you guys, the defensive line is not going to crumble like what we saw at Texas a week plus ago.
I like the defensive side, and I'll go on the record with this. If they beat Arkansas and that defense looks good, I'll let people use the nickname if they want. But on the other side of the ball, that's what kind of game it is. I think it's a game for the nickname this week, but you got to handle that team and go 10 in a row. Before I let you use it. Love the defense.
Wrecking Crew?
Exactly.
Okay.
They haven't given up a point in the second or third quarter yet. They've given up 10, 7, and nothing.
Okay.
So they're playing on that side. I'm not quite sure about the blocking part of it. We'll see. So a little more confidence there. But that's sort of what fan bases have to do when you get these wins. Maybe, and Texas fans, this may be what you have to deal with. If you go to the SEC, especially if they keep it at 8 conference games, you're going to be tempted to schedule garbage. And when you schedule garbage and you beat them 58-0, especially when they lose their quarterbacks, you don't really know what to do with it. Like, all I can tell you for sure, in fact, after the game this week, when A&M won 34-0, Jimbo Fisher called them average. And they asked what he meant by that, and he's like, "Well, we haven't done anything, and there's no way to know."
Yeah.
All I can tell you for sure is that they're better than Kent State, and they're better than New Mexico, and they're barely better than Colorado. But there was some stuff in that one. For a Texas fan, all I'd say is, look, you're definitely better than this Rice team, but I'm not exactly sure what else you are right now. I'm not sure because the pendulum just swung way one way and then came all the way back.
I'd say that they're squarely in the middle of the pack in the Big 12 right now, but I feel like the top of the conference is middle of the pack. Like, even Oklahoma seems very beatable this year, depending on another team bringing their A game to the table. Obviously, Texas gets a chance to do that in a little bit less than 3 weeks in Dallas, but Kansas State, they looked good over the weekend, even with Will Howard at quarterback. West Virginia, I think they're a legit threat to make it to Dallas in early December. They get the upset win, although technically it wasn't an upset, according to Vegas, looking really good and holding on to win that when they were up by 3 scores late in the third quarter, and they tried really hard to blow it. But Letty Brown is a quality running back. We discussed this back in the summer, Chad, talking about all the good running backs that exist in this conference. They may have the best running backs in terms of starting running backs in all of college football as a conference on the whole. You have Bryce Hall, obviously, at Iowa State. Letty Brown West Virginia. Who did you say?
Breece Hall.
Breece Hall, excuse me. Breece Hall at Iowa State. You have Deuce Vaughn at Kansas State.
Yeah.
You have Brown for Oklahoma State, who has really impressed me. Gray for Oklahoma has been okay so far. We expected bigger things out of him. Obviously, Texas has that two-headed attack with Roschon and Bijan. Keelan Robinson also very capable. Texas Tech, interestingly enough, they got Sir Roderick Thompson back this last week. He was limited, but he looks
so he
like
will play?
He's going to be a full go for Texas, which is a big deal for him because he gouged the Longhorns last year. The kid in at Baylor, whose name is escaping me right now, he's done some nice things early in the season too. So this conference is full of good running backs. If you can't stop a rushing attack, which is obviously the Longhorns' Achilles heel right now, mm-hmm. you could be in big, big trouble against conference competition.
What did Letty Brown have this weekend? It was like 8-something a carry?
It was silly.
He got after it.
He looked really good doing it, too. I watched a lot of that game.
And it was only like 19 carries. You see that? It wasn't even like it was a 25-30 carry kind of day.
He didn't have to overdo it. Doge looked good through the first 2.5 quarters, and then he's turned back into himself, I guess. But, yeah, West Virginia, people need to watch out for them. They need to be very mindful of Kansas State, too. They play a physical brand of football. They're not asking Will Howard to do too much right now, and they should be getting Skylar Thompson back before too long.
And speaking of West Virginia, it's Dental Hygiene Week. West Virginia at Oklahoma, ABC, 6:30 kick.
Oh, I like that one. That should be a fun game.
The culture clash in the Big 12. Maybe
that's a clash.
Maybe the last time they get together if things change quickly. So keep an eye on that. Here's a text that came in backing up my thoughts on Texas Tech. It says, from a Tech fan, biggest game of the year is UT. Yes, we don't like A&M. We hate Texas. That's always been my perception.
From a Texas Tech fan?
That's from a Tech fan.
That's changed because the feeling was more hatred towards A&M than Texas a decade plus ago.
Yeah, I feel like now that is a game they would love to preserve if they can. And
well, maybe we don't want to preserve it. Maybe we don't want to preserve it then, Chad. Maybe there's too much hatred coming from one side to the other.
Oh, that's perfect. See, that reaction would be perfect if Texas does that. If Texas says they don't, I don't know if I want to play. and then Tech can play that part of it up. It'll be great. We'll see if those two will continue past this year or past whenever it ends for Texas in the Big 12. All right, Cowboys got a win as well. Of course, we've talked about that today. 20-17, just get by the Chargers because Zuerlein found a kick this week that he couldn't find last week. He missed 60 last week, but he nailed 56 to win the game in L.A. yesterday. Up next, why today matters. We already did Where We At, talking weird TikTok challenges. Why Today Matters coming up. It's September the 20th. We got all kinds of food to get into and a couple birthdays as well. Plus stems and seeds before we're done. NFL injury news all over the place. Plus the official word on whether or not Deshaun Watson could be helping out the Texans. I think you know the answer. This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Spacey water therapy tunes. You know that little egg thing you can lay in now where you're in the water and you're just floating?
Yeah.
I want this on when I'm doing that.
You're talking about the...
What's that called?
It's not a hyperbaric chamber. Ah, gosh. Sensory deprivation chamber.
There
tank.
You go. What am I hearing?
This is supposedly Jewel.
Really?
But maybe Jewel is just a DJ now. She doesn't sing anymore.
That'd be great.
The song is called Butterfly.
It'd be great if Jewel just took a turn, threw the guitar down, and went Moby on us.
I guess so.
Jewel, yeah, she's touring with Daft Punk and Modest Mouse now. It's awesome.
See Modest Mouse.
Not Modest Mouse.
Danger Mouse.
Danger Mouse? What is it? Yeah, there you go.
Or Dead Mouse. Either of the two.
That's what I would want to be. We've talked about the bands that wear masks and stuff. I would love to, in the DJ world, be the DJ that's known for wearing the big mask, and then I can go out and, like, you know, shop for groceries all I want. Nobody knows what I look like.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
It's one of the brilliant aspects of Daft Punk. With as big as they got with that one song a few years ago, they still had anonymity.
Yeah, no, they could walk in this building right now. I'd have no clue who they are. All right, if you're just jumping in, remember, Texas and Texas Tech is an 11 o'clock kick. So is Texas and TCU. But let's stick with this week. If you want tickets to the game, Kevin and Rod have your first shot tomorrow at HEB on Gaddis School Road as you're planning your week. Get on by there. Meet the fellas and sign up for the Coors Light Silver Bullets seats for Texas and Texas Tech. You got to be 21 or older to enter to win. HornFM.com. Fellas are going to be out a couple times this week, and your first opportunity will be tomorrow. HEB on Gaddis School Road. All right, let's get into Why Today Matters, September 20.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
Yes, indeed. Why don't we just start right at the top of the mountain, Trey? National Pepperoni Pizza Day.
My family and I celebrated last night, Chad, at Via 313 for Vivian's birthday. The end of a four-day festival celebrating her seventh birthday, told my mom, a.k.a. her grandma, on Saturday that the birthday had been a little bit underwhelming up to that point, despite the fact that she was showered with presents on Thursday, got to go eat sushi Thursday night, got to pick dinner on Friday.
What seven-year-old doesn't want to eat sushi? That sounds like a dream.
I know, right? Got to pick dinner on Friday. Grandma came into town early Saturday morning. She knew she was going to the football game later that day. Actually got to ride on a Ferris wheel before the football game.
Come on.
And knew that there was going to be a big ordeal made for dinner on Sunday, which was also a restaurant of her choosing.
There you go.
The birthday a little bit disappointing. I feel like we are setting this girl up to celebrate her birthday for an entire season when she gets to college.
Oh, my goodness. So how long did they last at the game?
Interestingly, Vivian was ready to watch the entire game.
Really?
She made that proclamation midway through the second quarter. Calvin, on the other hand, after series one, was asking, how long till we leave?
You're saying even the two Rice quarterbacks lasted longer than Calvin?
The two Rice quarterbacks lasted longer than Calvin, and it got to the point where we were in commercial break, or we were, the game was in a commercial break, and so we're sitting there. And he would ask me like three times during that break, how much longer now?
Oh, no.
And I was like, look, man, the time is on the clock right there. You understand how to tell time at this point.
Uh-huh.
When we're during a commercial break, when the people aren't playing on the field, the time isn't moving. Just understand that. So we actually left after that long Bijan Robinson touchdown.
Right.
It's like 3 or 4 minutes left in the half. And I'm like, all right, this is probably going to be it. Maybe Texas scores one more time, but we'll get an early break on this. I'm going to get myself settled at a restaurant for the second half of the game. When we're walking away from DKR, I hear two loud pops from the crowd, and I'm like, that's weird. Those sound like touchdown pops, but it's halftime right now, so maybe they're just really excited about the band this week. No, it turned out Texas scored two more times after that long Bijan Robinson run, and I'll be honest, I'm kind of glad that we made an early break for the exits, that I could get settled at Bob's Steak and Chop House for the second half.
Well, I'm glad your kids got a little pepperoni pizza. Hopefully all of you get a little pepperoni pizza today. It gets its own day. It's very tasty. Don't know if I trust anyone who doesn't like pepperoni pizza. Do you know anyone like this?
Maybe some vegetarians, but then again, how much do you trust a vegetarian? Yeah, I think I'm with you there. Sure. If you don't at least acknowledge how good a pepperoni pizza is, you and I have issues.
Yeah, right. You got to be able to pull that off. Got to be able to do that. So also today, what else? Oh, it's Lumberg's birthday. Gary Cole is 65. You got to interview Gary Cole.
Great character actor. Man, there's so many great elements to the movie. Office Space, including him as Lumberg. You had Stephen Root in there as Milton.
Brilliant.
Ron Livingston, Jennifer Aniston, just such a great flick. Mike Judge directing it, of course. And it was cool to get to talk with him about things, too, because he's a very heady dude.
Now, remind me, you have or have not seen Dodgeball?
Have.
You have, okay.
Yeah.
Because there's somebody, oh no, it's Sacamano. My man Sacamano still hasn't seen Dodgeball.
That's surprising.
A wackadoo. Gary Cole and Jason Bateman as the announcers in Dodgeball helped to make that movie for me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He is so good. Happy birthday to Gary Cole.
It's mostly
today.
The secondary characters. Still are two, of course, but mostly the secondary characters because Vince Vaughn is supposed to play the straight guy in that movie. And
sure.
Of course, he just plays Vince Vaughn. It's what he does in every role.
Yeah, right. He's just straight up Vince Vaughn. You have yeah. to, you have all the flavoring around him, Rip, mm-hmm. Rip Torn, and you mentioned, I just lost his name, Stiller and everybody else in there. So happy birthday to Gary. What else we got today? Oh, we have string cheese today.
String cheese and fried rice, Chad.
Oh, there we go.
Not a fan of either.
No?
Nope.
See, I like fried rice. I'm not going to lie to you. When I have a choice, I go fried rice. I do.
I just, rice does not have a good effect on my body.
Okay.
And I've had to learn that lesson over time. It's why sushi is so difficult, because, man, sushi without rice sucks.
Uh-huh.
So I'll end up biting the bullet and eating rice then.
So what's wrong with string cheese?
String cheese? I don't know, man. I've had a couple of string cheeses that are technically my kids, but I'm hungry and there's nothing else that's even moderately healthy in the house, so I'll have that. It just doesn't taste like real cheese.
You know what I do? As part of this diet where I'm still maintaining this weight loss, I'm a Babybel guy now.
See, the Babybel is also, it tastes like fake cheese to me.
Because it gives me a little bit of the dairy, because I can't drink a lot of milk or, you know, a lot of heavy dairy with cheese. But a little bit at a time, I have some, like, almonds or something, or grapes, or just like a nice little snack, and I mix in that Babybel, it feels like cheese. It feels enough like cheese that I kind of fool my brain.
It does feel like cheese. It just doesn't taste like cheese to me. It's like how American is supposed to be, like the Americanized version of cheddar,
mm-hmm.
like a softer version of cheddar, but it doesn't really taste like cheese to me. It tastes like fake cheese. It tastes like the cheese in a can. That's kind of what the Babybels and the string cheese are. It's like the knockoff of a decent mozzarella.
Yeah, I should have known you, the food snob, would really get into the string cheese. Not really a food snobby kind of food. Is there a food snob version of string cheese or not? I can't imagine that there is a prepackaged cheese that I can buy, rip shreds of it off, and just hammer it down.
I think a young Huda that you can maybe tear with your hands might be the equivalent, the food snob equivalent of string cheese.
Sure. The young Huda, obviously. I'm such an idiot. Why didn't I think of the young Huda?
Because if you start getting to the aged Huda at that point, it's not as easy to tear with your hands. You need a knife to do so. And if you go smoked Huda, there's a chance that you can still tear it with your hands. But you want to go with that younger Huda.
Somebody texted in, if you can dodge a wrench, ... and go on, boy, get in there nice and deep-like. Yes, Dodgeball. If you haven't seen it, you may want to check it out.
We haven't reviewed that one yet, have we?
I don't know if we have. We should just for the heck of
we
it.
Just need to start the list now. We are going to review Dirty Work when we get to the next football offseason in honor of Norm MacDonald.
The Emmys were last night, and I could say it every year, but when they got to the in memoriam deal, it really felt like everybody that was cool died in this past year. Like, the list was amazing. As I'm going through it, I'm like, oh my God, I forgot that person and, you know, Cloris Leachman and George Segal and the mom from Arrested Development. And like, all these people lined up, and then they ended with Norm. Mm. He was the very last name. Got a nice pop from the crowd, respectful pop from the crowd. Had Norm at the weekend update desk.
Have you started watching Ted Lasso yet?
No. Okay. I have not.
Because that won all the awards last night, apparently.
Yeah, like everybody in that cast was nominated in every category.
We're three episodes in. It's a good show so far.
Now, what's
I can
it
understand
on?
Why it has an appeal.
It's Apple TV?
Apple TV,
Yeah, we don't have that right now. So I've got to see if I want to add that to the list of things to pay for.
So do you have the Apple TV box?
No.
So you got to call Audiovisual Consultations.
Have that.
They're who hooked us up with two different Apple TV boxes.
What am I paying for that?
Replace the Amazon Prime Stick. I do not remember the cost. It's cheaper than what you're going to get it for at Best Buy.
Okay.
And then they'll do the install too, obviously.
Is it like an Amazon Stick or something where you plug it in and then you get apps off of that, or is this just one thing?
It's like that, but it according to the AV guys, it provides a slightly cleaner signal. So the crystal clear TV comes even clearer, and I've seen that over the last couple of days since they installed it in the downstairs television last week. And so the sports was clear. There weren't as many, You know how you'll get fuzzy moments with the Amazon Prime Stick if you're watching like YouTube TV or something? There were less of those moments watching Red Zone yesterday, so I was happy about that.
That sounds good.
Although, did you see? I don't know if you were watching Red Zone like within the first hour and a half.
I was.
It stopped working for about 5 minutes for everybody.
Yeah, it did.
I thought Twitter was going to shut down.
I was wondering if it was just me or if there were others experiencing it. The red alert?
Yeah.
They were going
it
to...
It was frozen on the red alert.
Frozen on the word red alert. And my dad is sitting there like, really? Is this what you brag about all the time? And I felt awful. I was like cussing the TV out. You're embarrassing me in front of my father. What are you doing? I promised him Red Zone.
I said you were the best show on TV all year, and you do this to me.
Then it came back. Then it popped back on, and we were fine for the rest of the way. All right, there's some of why today matters to us on September the 20th. Up next, stems and seeds and a lot of injuries around the NFL. Did you hear what happened or see what happened to the Niners yesterday? We'll update that running back room for you, the Deshaun Watson story. And what about Tua? They did a follow-up test on him. We'll tell you about that before we get out of here and get you off to RBKD on the horn.
Shirts and skins.
Is that what I thought it was?
I don't know. I dumped it just in case.
Yeah, it was kind of close. What the heck was that?
It was borderline. That was my morning jacket.
It was borderline in a lot of ways.
My morning jacket. Love, love, love.
All right. My morning jacket, also with some new music out there. We had Jewel. We had some Billy Idol. We had some Zac Brown Band, Ed Sheeran, and the North Mississippi All-Stars. Had a nice mix today. New music hit last Friday. I would recommend the Cynthia Erivo album. Maybe not an album you'd think of when you think of me, but man, it was good. Cynthia Erivo, the actor that played Harriet Tubman in the movie Harriet. She was on Broadway in The Color Purple, and she's been working on her debut album for a while now. It's called Chapter 1, Volume 1,
okay.
I believe, and some really good stuff on there. The song The Good, I think, is probably going to be the first hit on that album, but there's three or four others on there that are really good. So that album is very good. New music for you on a Monday. From Friday, Longhorns looking good, 58-0. Cowboys got a win 20-17, 1-1 now as they get ready for the Eagles on a Monday night. Let's get you some stems and seeds, and we'll try to get all these injuries straight in the NFL. Here we go.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678 or avconsultations.com. It sounds like a joke, but it really did happen. Three San Francisco running backs got hurt in about 5 or 6 minutes of game time. First, it was Elijah Mitchell, then it was Jamichael Hasty, and then it was Trey Sermon. Mitchell has a shoulder, but he actually came back in the game or was able to come back in because they think it might be a stinger for him and he might be all right.
Ooh, that's not a good injury for a running back.
No. Jamichael Hasty had an ankle injury, and they think they may have lost him for a little while. And Trey Sermon is in concussion protocol now because that was his issue, so they are going to monitor him. But the Niners, man, remember all that the Ravens went through in preseason and practice with running backs? The Niners said, hold our beer. We'll do it in the game in a five-minute stretch. They did get the win, though, over the Eagles. So keep your eye on that. Also, for those of you holding out hope that Deshaun Watson will play for the Texans, no. Even if Tyrod Taylor can't go, Deshaun Watson is not going to be a part of this, Trey. So Thursday night, it might be the starting debut of Davis Mills.
Yeah. Did you see him much yesterday?
I saw a little bit.
It didn't look great. But then again, two of his top three receivers were also out of action with injuries, too. So, yeah, I mean, the Texans expected this to be an ugly year. They expected to compete for that number one overall pick, certainly still in the running. And that is much less in jeopardy now that Tyrod Taylor is out, because he showed a real knack as a quarterback through a game and a half. I mean, that guy can make plays.
Tyrod Taylor is, it's not that he's fragile. That's not what the way I would describe him, but it just feels like he's never going to be able to get through 16 or 17 now.
I mean, Carson Wentz feels like one of those guys right now too, correct? He's dealing with not just the ankle injury from yesterday, but apparently both of his ankles are tweaked right now.
Yeah, and that's not good. That's not good, right? Because, yeah, he messed something else up.
It's not good because Jacob Eason is the backup option. And even though he turned some heads in preseason, I think Jacob Eason, when the games really matter, is going to be exposed.
Did you see that play yesterday when they brought him in?
Yeah.
One play, one throw, pick.
Yep.
And when he got into the huddle, I said out loud in the room, well, here comes the cannon, and the cannon threw a pick. did you see the Tua injury?
I saw one angle of it, but it didn't look like anything significant, but apparently it's a rib injury. Everybody was worried that it was his hip again.
Yeah.
Because of how gingerly he was walking off the field. Thankfully, it wasn't that.
Yeah, I think it was more of those when it was a rib injury, so maybe it was affecting his ability to breathe at that point. They were just trying to be careful there, maybe just getting some pain. So they did initial tests. Those came up negative. Great news is the follow-up x-rays come back negative. So now he's gotten into what I'll call Steve McNair land. It's just about pain tolerance.
Right.
If he can deal with it, they're going to let him go. So keep your eye on that story. Tua, not as bad as they thought. That's good news for Dolphins fans. Trey, also maybe good news for Cleveland fans. Jarvis Landry got hurt like first drive against the Texans, which kind of helps explain that game a little bit too. MCL sprain.
Okay.
But they think he's they're going to go week to week. Have not put him on the IR. That would bring him out for three games at least. So they're going to try to look at it week to week. He might not be as hurt as they thought.
Any word on what's going on with Baker Mayfield's left shoulder? Because he left the game in serious pain at one point, and that left shoulder looked like it was pretty badly separated. But he tested it out, and to his credit, came back in.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything on him if they think that's more serious. But I don't want to give a team too much credit for a 10-point loss, but I was surprised the Texans put up that kind of fight.
Good for them for putting that sort of fight, considering that their head coach was trying to help them lose games by not giving the offense another shot to pick up a first down on third down.
Yeah, man, if he did what you described earlier, that is inexcusable. We've seen a couple of those now. That young Bengals coach did something in week one I still don't get. They got a win, and it covered it up. But, yeah, the Texans coach can't be that guy. You can't be old guy that might not be able to, maybe shouldn't be a head coach and make dumb decisions like that. Tonight it is Detroit and Green Bay. Enjoy Monday Night Football. We'll be back for a Tuesday show tomorrow. Rod and Kevin coming right up with RBKD. Then you get a little Soccer Matters, Instant Serious. Check out our Monday night lineup. Keep it right here on the Horn. And if you need that Sark press conference, it's at hornfm.com. Have a good Monday. See ya!